I mean, there's something very instinctual about seeing it.
There's a Jenga block quality about the Ood, though.
There's a Jenga block quality about the Ood. I think that might be the pull quote for the episode. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I am also your host, Cassie, and I do not know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we are looking at Series 4, Episode 3, Planet of the Ood.
Ah, Planet of the Perfume Base.
Not to be confused with its prequel, Dawn of the Planet of the Ood.
And not to be confused with its sequel, Rise of the Planet of the Ood.
I guess we should start off by making sure you do remember who the Ood are, correct?
No idea.
We must feed
you.
Yeah. If you are
okay,
hungry.
The
Cthulhu's.
Yeah.
The Cthulhu's. I was gonna
say the not the Timu Mind Flayers.
Wish.com Mind Flayers.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is our first return of the Ood. I think it's our first returning alien that's not from the classic series. No, I guess technically the Slitheen did show. The Slitheen.
Go on, Zach. Say the whole name.
The Rexachorocephalopatorians, the Slitheen, did show up twice in series one, but this is our first one to show up one series to another. We've had the Daleks, we've had the Cybermen. Today we are going back to the Ood, the servants that you met in the Satan Pit two-parter.
Okay.
Yes, this is the first time we get to see where the Ood are from. They are from the planet of the Ood.
The Ood origins.
Yes. I will let you know their planet is called the Ood Sphere. I don't think that's necessarily a spoiler.
Can we start calling our house the Cassphere?
We just call our whole planet the Human Orb.
The Bean Sphere. Remind me how they, were defeated.
So they weren't necessarily, they weren't really defeated. It was more that, because they were possessed by the devil.
Yes.
This particular group of Ood. Because to be clear, what you saw wasn't all of the Ood in existence. That were just the ones that worked on that base. Those Ood were possessed by the devil, and then they were either shot or they just died when the planet was pulled into a black hole.
Okay.
So they were sort of sacrificed in a way. But if you remember, they had their, inside their tentacles was one plug that came into a little orb. And they would use that orb to zap people in the brain.
Oh, yeah. I had the very distinct memory of thinking, golly, that sure does look like an avatar. Now they plug in their little ponytails into animals and stuff.
Yeah, it's in their mouths instead.
Yeah.
Well, that actually leads me into the Cassie-Brafassi today.
Uh-oh.
As you might vaguely remember, that orb was how they were speaking to one another. However, that orb is not a natural part of their body, as you can assumed by the fact that it's mechanical.
I beg to differ. I know plenty of people with mechanical parts of their bodies that
they were born with.
Yeah.
We'll tell you, the Ood is not the case. That orb was once a part of their body that was then cut off and replaced with that orb. The Cassie-Brafassi question today is for you to tell me what body part was cut off.
Their dick.
You think it was their dick?
It's their pee-pee. The ring wang.
You think that Oods are all men and they all have penis tongue?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
No.
Okay, so
yes,
it's not their genitals.
Well. What was the question?
The orb that they hold in their hand that is attached to the wire that goes up their mouth.
Yeah.
That used to be a part of their body. That was cut off and replaced with that orb. Can you tell me what that body part was?
I might just stick with Wing Wang because I fully don't understand the complexity of your question. Pee-pee is funny.
Okay, so I'll say genitals to be generous. Generous genitals.
Well, because I'm also really trying to rack my brain and figure out what else it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
That is...
Generous Genitals was the name of my funk band.
Ugh, I I'm not surprised it didn't last. I'm sure your fan is very upset you're gone.
My mom was very upset.
Mm. Ew, why was she a supporter of generous genitals?
She just supports everything I do.
A good woman. Brave.
Hi, Mom.
So patient. Oh, man, I made a dick joke.
I think my mom will be okay with it.
Oh, no. She'll think slightly less of me.
No, my mom's made plenty of them in front of me. My mom's made much worse jokes in front of me than just a simple dick joke.
Oh, no, your mom's indifferent towards me.
So just to give you an idea of that, like, it could be an example of body parts that we have. It could be heart. It could be genitals, like you said. It could be brain. It could be lung. It could be some kind of digestive organ. Any kind of, anything like that, like any of those, when I say body parts, that's what I mean.
So you said heart, lung, brain, stomach, penis. That is in the orb that is allowing them to communicate?
It was cut off and replaced with the orb.
Our brain.
Brain?
T-P-P-E.
Harbrain. Harbrain to pee pee stomach.
And a breath. And a shoosh. And a shoosher.
Gotta pick one,
Cassie.
That's
a nose. That's a people. I'm gonna be frank with you, bud. I've got all the hamsters called out sick today. There's nobody working up top. It's between heart and brain.
All right. Pick one.
Is either one of those correct?
I've already given you a list. I don't want to give you any more hints than that.
What? Heart.
All right. So you're going to say it's their heart.
Well, because I'm also thinking realistically... Never mind, because your brain could also be in your penis. Your heart's in your penis. Everything is attached.
The best way to a man's dick is through his penis.
The best way to a man's dick is through his dick. The best way to a man's dick is with a knife.
All right, and then for the second part of the Cassie for Fassy Day, this episode has an allusion to a popular arcade game.
Ooh.
I will. I can give you some multiple choice for this one, or if you just want to guess and go for it, I will let you go for it.
Yes, because I suddenly don't remember what arcade games are.
All right. So, is it skee ball?
Okay.
Air hockey?
Okay.
Or a claw machine?
Okay. I was really convinced that it was going to be a invasion. I'm really glad I didn't. So I was like, oh, Pac-Man is possible. Invasion, Pong, Sonic.
Yeah, I guess I could have been more upfront.
More of a tactile.
Yeah. That's also why I felt like if I had given you just blanket arcade game, it might have been unfair because you would have just been thinking about all the like the 8 and 16-bit
Guitar games. Hero.
Yeah, Dance Dance Revolution.
Jumpin' Jammin', my favorite. That's the one where you jump rope over the light.
Yeah.
But you get a lot of points if
you
do really
well.
Yeah,
they had really one in the bowling alley when we...
Yeah, and they have one at literally every Dave and Buster's. Claw machine feels right, but I'm also wondering if that's because Toy Story.
The claw.
Exactly. So in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, claw machine is very spacey.
Mm-hmm. For those of you at home, Cassie is making various... gestures to imitate the various things
I'm trying to figure out
what her do.
What would be the most Doctor Who? And genuinely, claw does feel the most Doctor Who because there's so little movement with that.
All right, so you're going to say claw machine?
I don't feel confident about that. Let me do a take where I say each one and whichever one. I'm not saying, oh, we'll just pick the... No, because you haven't let me do that in the past. It's for me to say which one out loud feels the most accurate.
Okay.
So, it's claw machine. It's a boomerang. That's not one of the options. It's skee ball. It's air hockey. It's claw machine.
All right, so claw machine it is. So Cassie's prefaces for today are that in their hands, the Ood hold what used to be their hearts, having since been cut out and replaced with an orb. And there's also an allusion to the popular arcade game of claw machines.
Of Claw.
Famous Inspector Gadget villain Claw. And we will find out together as we watch Series 4, Episode 3, Planet of the Ood. Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Benny, the chimpanzee that writes poetry. I've been asked to read an excerpt now. E-E. Ooh-ooh-ah. E-ooh-ah-ah-e-ooh-ah. Ah? E-ooh-ah. Ah-ah-e-e-ooh. Thank you. And we are back from Planet of the Ood.
Ood!
Or as I think I saw your face at one point, Planet of the Ew.
Planet of the Ooh.
Planet of the Oh, no.
Planet of the
Yes, that was Planet of the Ood. Donna's first adventure off-world.
Jeez. The Doctor just really is enjoying mentally tormenting and traumatizing Donna.
I don't think he's enjoying it, but it certainly seems to be the thing that keeps happening.
Like, just once, I want the Doctor and his companion to, like, go on a vacation.
They deserve a beach episode.
They do.
Unfortunately, the Doctor's story is not really one that contains a lot of beach episodes.
It's a shame. Drama could still happen on a beach.
There is some drama that happens on a beach for him a couple of times, so we'll get to those in the future for sure.
Oh, cool. But in this case, drama happens in the tundra?
In the frozen tundra of the Ood Sphere.
Ood Sphere.
We went from the fires of Pompeii to the ice of the Ood.
Ood.
So I guess we'll just maybe talk about the broadest point here. What'd you think, Cassie? Did you like it?
No, yes, I don't know. It's an episode about slavery, brother. Do you think I liked it?
Yeah, just if you thought it was a good episode is really what more or less what I'm
getting. Objectively, yes, but I'm not sitting here going, man, do you know what my favorite episode of Doctor Who is?
The one where
they have to liberate an entire planet of subservient humanoids.
Where that one guy peels his face off.
Oh my God. I love the species that holds their fucking brains in their hands. They're born with their brains in their hands. Of course they're gonna trust whoever comes up to them.
They have to, because if they don't, they could die, because their brains could get eaten.
That's insanity. And I'm also pissed because when we started, I had a half-baked thought of lobotomies, which is not an unusual thought for me to have. But I was like, wow, yeah, because like if these are subservient beings, that would make perfect sense. If something about their brains is wrong, if their prefrontal cortex is missing or is altered in some way, because that is what would happen with patients, more often than not women, who received lobotomies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a means to an end, effectively, of curing hysteria, you know, like having emotions and stuff.
Those pesky things.
Oh, pesky, pesky. But that was something that was observed, is if you poke around up there a little bit, you can alter a person's entire being. More often than not, people that would get lobotomies would then go from being, you know, very lively to very vegetative and not emotional whatsoever. The lights are on, but nobody's home.
Oh, what was it they referred to it in this episode? They were programmed, I guess is what they said, or processed.
What's pissing me off is I had this thought, and I genuinely think about lobotomies a lot more because I have the thought of, gee whiz, if I was alive during the 1940s, would I have been lobotomized? And the answer, according to a magazine article that came out at the time of like, here are like qualifications. The answer is absolutely, most definitely, or a couple years earlier than that, I would have been burned at the stake for being a witch.
Just a couple years.
Just a couple. Just a cool 200 years, but it's okay. So I'd had this thought before we even started. And when we were watching it, I went, it's got probably something to do with their brains. But I didn't want to say nothing because I already cashed in my guess in their heart. Because I was also observing, or I remembered, that the little balls that they carry around and hold, they place over their like left breast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that makes sense then that it would be your heart. If it's something that is being suspended and ripped out, if you're talking emotions, a lot of emotions are tied to the heart. So that just makes sense to me. I am so mad that I was so wrong for something that I thought so hard about but didn't say anything in the beginning, so nobody's gonna believe me that I had all these thoughts.
Well, the good news is you did get the point for Claw Machine.
Oh, goody. I would have also gotten the point for Pac-Man.
Yeah, if you had guessed Pac-Man, especially when you like see it, there is part of it that just has a very Pac-Man feel. So had you said it, I probably would have counted that on technicality. But yes, Claw Machine is what I was going for. And also why I, you know,
what they missed is a shot where the doctor gets picked up, but then wiggles around a little bit and then falls out.
Or goes, the claw.
Nah, that's BBC.
The claw is a master.
That's BBC. They're not going to futz with Pixar. Jeez.
It was hard to come up with prefaces for this one because there's not a lot that happens in it.
You could have thrown the, there's a specific reference to a cartoon you really like.
Yeah, to one adult animated cartoon. But the problem is that doesn't narrow it down very much.
I mean, even if you narrowed it down to a graining cartoon, I would have immediately flocked to Futurama. Yeah. I would not have thought Simpsons.
No!
Yeah.
It was very funny that they put that in there. It's just a fun little gag. It's weird. It doesn't feel like the episode was spinning its wheels or anything. Like it was just like keeping things going. It did feel like a very natural way for the story to play out. But when you like sit back and think about it, it really was just sort of like a straight line of things that happened.
I didn't really have a lot of notes for this one just because a lot of things happened, but not.
Yeah. Like they happen like, there's a pacing to it where it's like, it's always leaning forward, but never like slamming on the gas, if that makes sense.
Like, it's a good episode, objectively.
Yeah.
Like, this is the kind of episode that you would show in a, like, collegiate course on how to write for TV.
Yeah.
Just because it is very textbook. It is very straightforward. Things happen, and every piece of information you receive does feed into the climax. You know, what's his nuts talking about how he's losing his hair because of stress and constantly pulling out little chunks of hair and asking his Ood servant, Sigma.
Yeah, Ood Sigma.
Ood Sigma.
In case you forget, they put a big Sigma on his shirt.
Oh, I completely missed that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. He's the only one that has a big logo.
S for a sitter. Yeah. Can't really go around advertising yourself with a big BS.
It is funny because the symbol for Sigma looks sort of like an E. So it's E for Ewed.
For Ew.
They keep saying the circle must be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally find out what that means is that there's pylons of electricity surrounding him to dampen his telepathic powers giant brain.
The Netherese brain.
Yeah, you joke once that they look like mind flayers just for them to even further push that by having them with a giant brain as their command center.
That's either the BBC or Wizards of the Coast either momentarily sharing a brain cell or... I don't need to know who came up with what first. All I know is that it exists now.
There's a very real chance that something in the Cthulhu mythos about that.
Yeah, probably.
Just because it's weird that they would come up twice with such a similar concept, you know?
Yeah. To be fair, though, the Ood don't really have tentacles. Like, they're not like prehensile tentacles.
Yeah. I mean, although
and
we
they don't do much.
Although they do get rabid, and we do see them like, yeah, like on somebody's face.
My favorite thing is I really love that all of the Ood are practical. It's
yeah.
one makeup that they just put on hundreds of extras.
Yep.
Love that. Everybody's wearing gloves. Everybody has big old boxy suits. It's a great, love that. But when the Ood are going rabid, not only do they get red lights behind their eyes, but they get gel put on their tentacles. So when they do start going crazy, just blobs of gel are hitting other actors in the face and on the chest. And
it is funny when you mention Futurama, now that I'm thinking about it, they do have kind of a Zoidberg quality to the way that they like eat things.
Yes.
And the way they like things like flop out of their mouths.
They don't sound like Zoidberg,
I'm
Ood
Sigma, maybe? I do really like the effect of the red eyes. I really like that one rich guy who comments on them. Like, I could sell this. You could make different colors.
A color for every occasion. And then immediately gets zapped in the brain.
That also just rings really with, like, especially we're coming right out of Pride Month. When we're recording this, when this goes up, it'll be a couple weeks out of Pride Month. But we're coming right out of Pride Month as when we're recording this. And you're just like, oh, so companies are still doing the... Let's slap rainbows on things for pride.
You see that a lot of times on like products too that are being sold at a higher market value.
Mm-hmm.
This has nothing to do with Pride Month, but things change in color. As I've been looking for a little air conditioning unit for our bedroom, the ones that have LED lights where you can change the color cost way more than just plain ones. LED, that has nothing to do with the quality of the air conditioner. Having a pink light on while my cool air blasts me in the face does not make me any cooler.
But it does make you look cooler.
It does enhance my experience with the AC, so things changing color is really important.
It's a combination air conditioner and lava lamp.
Oh,
which seems a little counterintuitive.
Oh my god,
to have
that would
be both
so
a lava,
sick.
To have it be a lava lamp that's supposed
oh my
to cool
god.
You off.
It sucks up all the hot air and uses that to heat the wax.
It'd be really funny.
Lava lamp, get on this.
That's gonna be the sponsor, is lava lamp air conditioning. And thinking about it, I think this may just be more like a slow burn episode, might be the way of putting it, because you know something's wrong the entire time. There's never a moment where you think, like, okay, things are fine now.
Well, especially since we do have pre-introduction to the Ood in the form of we, the audience, have dealt with them before, but in very different circumstances. They did kind of a nice thing in this episode where they did reintroduce the audience / Donna to the Ood, because Donna has never experienced the Ood.
And I liked that Donna wanted to know what was happening with the Ood, and the doctor goes, that was the devil. And she thinks he's taking the piss.
It was the devil.
If you're gonna take the mickey, I'll just put my hood back up.
Which, in fairness, the doctor thought the devil was taking the piss. So that,
I do like, at the very tippy top of the episode, Donna steps out of the TARDIS wearing a tank top.
Yeah, and then as the doctor's talking about how great it is to be on this alien world, she's vanished back into the TARDIS to change into a parka.
She brought a bag for every season. I should hope she has a parka. Since we're on the topic of Donna, she does another very good thing in this episode where she marvels at humans' ability to expand far and wide, like, beyond our known galaxy, mm-hmm. since the year is 4132.
Yes, something like that.
And is commenting on how remarkable it is that humans explores. Or is it a bad thing? Are humans like a virus? Because, yes, humans have expanded onto this alien planet, but in doing so have built basically a manufacturing base to turn its inhabitants into a subservient species.
Yeah, into slaves. Not like servants, but explicitly slaves.
Well, slaves, even to the extent where they're being shipped off in, like,
shipping containers.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like...
Like they're Jews during the Holocaust.
I'm not laughing at what you said. I'm laughing at the face you made when you said it. I wish I could give people like just if there was a way for all of your facial features to have sunk down into your chin, that was what you had tried to do in that moment.
If somebody can animate that, there's gotta be one.
Anyway,
send your reference photos. I have to pay for them though. I'm kidding. I'm totally.
You still
totally
owe a picture of you straight cheesing.
Fuck, I do.
Yeah, you do.
He'll never get it. You gotta work hard for that. But also, yeah, it was the imagery though of having what the doctor said could be 100 Ood just standing in straight rows in these shipping containments.
Yeah, like shoulder to shoulder, barely enough room to move at all. It's almost like when you ever seen those footage of like the way they keep pigs in inhumane conditions?
You ever stack a bunch of Jenga blocks?
So you know those two things that are very similar? Slaves, pigs, and Jenga blocks?
Do you ever stand a bunch of Jenga blocks in a row just to see them all lined up and to make sure that you have the correct number of Jenga blocks without the intention of actually playing Jenga, only the intention of standing them all up to count them and then put them away neatly in their box? Not autistic, but that's the only way.
There's also that moment where Donna says that, you know, the thing that we all know, which is slavery, is bad, and the doctor then calls her out, like,
a great big empire built on slavery.
It's not so different from your time.
Oi, I haven't got slaves.
Who do you think made your clothes?
Yeah, fast fashion. Granted, there is a non-zero chance that she got her jacket from a very nice retailer. There are ethical ways you can get clothes.
Yeah, I think...
But in this particular context, like, yes, humans are, on paper, opposed to slavery, unless it means that you can get a 8-pack of underwear for $8, then it's okay. This is me super duper not condoning.
You heard it here first. Cassie says,
Zach,
if you can get underwear for
$8. No, stop it. No. Stop. Do not do this to me. I am so very against. I would rip any of those, like, Shein, Temu, Wish.com. If I could rip them apart with my bare hands, I would.
If you could rip apart that $8 pack of underwear.
Wouldn't it be very hard? Those kids are paid 8 cents a day. That's a terrible... It's not even a joke. It's true. I do my part by not participating in the keeping those businesses alive, but at what cost? My non-participation does so little. But branching it back and bringing it back around full circle, it does send Donna then into her own little, like, 5-minute spiral.
Well, she's also mad at the doctor. She's like, do you just keep humans around so you can feel superior to them? And there's a part of it that probably a little true.
Yeah.
Like, there's one of the things he seems to really, like, the doctor, not even just Tennant, but most of the doctors seem to enjoy is explaining things to their, you know, human intelligent companion.
It's something that I've found is very common in know-it-alls. They just love being around people that don't know as much as they do.
Where on earth would you find someone that knows a lot about things?
So that way they can interrupt their co-hosts. And start a podcast solely based off of knowing a lot about something while their poor little co-host knows nothing.
Oh, you're talking about Tony.
Yes.
our friend Tony Goldmark, host of Escape from Vault Disney. He's definitely the know-it-all you're talking
about.
Yes,
thank
if anyone
you
implies,
so much.
And if anyone took anybody else from that, that would make you a liar and a communist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is exactly what I'm referring to. Couldn't be anybody else, not even anybody else in this room, on this couch, on this podcast.
Yeah, there is something very, I mean, I think part of the reason why our podcast works is that it sort of echoes the doctor and their companion relationship a little bit.
Are you calling yourself the doctor? Who has the cosplay?
No, Cassie,
buddy?
I'm calling you K-9.
Affirmative.
it being this kind of slow burn that it does, where things just sort of like wheel along, getting a little bit worse and a little bit worse, does mean that when you get to that end part where it reveals that he's been not feeding him hair tonic, but graft of oud. Not even poison. He's fed him oud graft and a biological compound, he said. Basically, he's been feeding him oud DNA for him to ingest for 5 years.
Oud piss!
Oud piss! I have pissed in your cup.
Clear, crystal clear piss.
We must pee.
Very hydrated.
We must pee. You, if you would like that.
I do like that the very beginning of the episode did harken back to that, where it's like, it was something about how the oud will serve you cream and sugar with your coffee.
Yeah, it's a good bit. I appreciate that they found a way to echo it without it being exactly the same thing.
If they had done the same thing, though, I wouldn't have been angry.
Oh, I remember the way you laughed when they were, if you are hungry. I really like the moment the doctor has where he's like, you know, the subconscious, that like deep seated desire for revenge in the subconscious manifests in so many ways. For the red eyes, it manifests as anger. For the rabid ouds, it manifested as violence. But for Oud Sigma, it was patience.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you remember at the beginning of the episode, he says that he's been taking that hair tonic for 5 years. Oud Sigma has for 5 years been slowly, not poisoning, but transfiguring his boss.
Oud Sigma might be a woman. Because they do make a comment about how you can change the Ood's voice to be, you know, something like a comrade, or something for after hours. And it's like, would you like more coffee with your tea, sir? Whatever the line was.
May I take your hat, sir?
May I take your hat, sir? But
there's one model of Ood that just only speaks in SpongeBob quotes.
Me. Me as a Ood. Cassandrood. Cassood.
Welcome to Ood is my doctor.
Ood is my doctor, indeed. I am your host, Cassie, and I know a lot about Ood.
And I'm also your host, Zacharood. And I don't know a lot about
Ood. Zacharood! No, but I think Oud Sigma is definitely that's so like manipulative and cunning.
Yeah, and it's
love
all, it,
that.
It's that
we
kind of like
we stand an emotionally manipulative queen.
I guess I'll say traditionally feminine way of winning an argument, where, you know, women will like remember a phrase that pissed them off and hold on to it for 5 years until it becomes relevant to an argument. Is that sort of like almost stereotypical aspect to it?
I mean, it is, but god damn does it hurt.
Yeah, it's
the way that I'm still mad at my sister for taking a shirt that I had purchased before I had removed the tags on a vacation, and then she gave it back and then I donated it. I don't even have that shirt anymore. I'm still angry about that.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, it feels like that.
It's a little petty.
Yeah,
but it's petty in a way that like those little instances over time for 5 years, little itty bitty things like that. If those types of things were happening consistently over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got the vibe in this episode that he was drinking those a lot.
In this episode alone, there were
20 shots.
He stopped. It wasn't 20. Presumably, whenever he was on screen, every time he was on screen, he would ask for a drink.
Yeah.
Which, and the rule in your planet is no alcohol. It's tonic.
It's not alcohol. It's hair tonic. I used to have a full head of hair. It's stress. It's stress that's done this to me, which, you know, I get that.
I get that vibe.
But also, I don't sell slaves.
But also, I love products that are marketed to fix a problem, but they only exacerbate that problem, like antidepressants. I love that antidepressants cause depression and thoughts of suicide. I think that's evil. So same thing with this, where it's like, oh, this tonic is actively causing him to lose his hair.
Not just his hair, but his skin and his teeth.
Well, that's until later.
And his species.
And half of his brain.
Yeah. And he didn't lose it. He's carrying it around in his hands.
He loosed it out of his head.
He coughed up his amygdala. That's what happened.
Could you imagine coughing up, like literally coughing up a body part?
I mean, I guess that happens if you have like tonsil stones or something.
It's really satisfying when you cough up tonsil stones, so I'm not gonna lie.
This episode is taking some weird turns.
It's because I'm holding the mic. I could be more relaxed.
I'm just really hoping it doesn't affect the autocoder, but we'll find out when I do the edit.
I mean, I don't think so. I'm not wiggling around too much.
I'm not wiggling and waggling. But yeah, when you get to that slow burn and you finally have that reveal that he's about to shoot them, and basically Ood Sigma tells him, no, you can't shoot him because Ood don't kill. And
no, my favorite is he starts before that even, mm-hmm. making some really weird faces and like shapes with his mouth.
Yeah, it was Mr. Halpern. He starts saying like you, like really
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, he really, really emphasizes any ooh sounds.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the choice that actor made. I kind of wish that he had started doing it a little earlier.
Yeah.
Like just a little bit to let you go, hang on. But also, I don't know if that would have given it away too soon.
I don't think so, because I, even when it was happening, I went, I didn't see this coming.
That's fair. Like the slow burn of the episode, I was
still
saying
distracted
really.
Because earlier on in the episode, when they first enter Warehouse 15, where the brain is being kept, his father brought him into the warehouse to show him what was kept there when he mm-hmm. was six, and that he hadn't been there in 10 years. And I went, there's no way this fool is 16.
I think those are not related thoughts.
I know. I just thought it was
I had
really
a full head of hair at the age of 11, but now I'm a balding man of 16.
I'm a
grandmother.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that this episode takes this kind of slow burn approach to it, because of that, I think when you really get to the transformation of Mr. Halpern turning into an Ood, it really goes, oh no.
It's they're capable of a lot.
Well, it's also that it feels kind of horrifying because we've seen a lot of like messed up things, but it's like things getting shot or people getting zapped in the head.
We haven't really seen any transformations like this.
But so there's something very visceral about it that we haven't really had on the episode. Like there's something very gross in a very specific way. You know what I mean? Visceral.
It's also the fact that they do show the actor. It's like a prolonged shot of him doing my favorite thing, the transformation. I'm going to kick my head forward and put my like head between my hands, which is typically, I've talked about it before, very common in theater as here's when the transformation happens. But this is not theater. This is film. So then they just have a shot of his profile with his mouth like extended open, unnaturally wide, like he's a viper man.
And then the tentacles are like falling out of his mouth. They're definitely falling out of his mouth and not just behind his mouth.
Definitely out of his mouth for sure.
There is a part of me that's a sucker for that kind of like classic filmmaking thing. Like this thing they would have done like before computers were even an idea. Like that's the kind of effect that they went with. And
there's
a part
like
of me that has a soft spot for it.
If you get shot or you get stabbed, the sword is going through your chest, Zach, not between your torso and your arm.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's like there's something very charming about leaning into that effect.
It's your form of cheese, Zach. Lean into it.
It is. But there's also that, you know, sort of the opposite of that. There is a very expensive part of it where when he leans forward, you see him peel his skin partly off, and you're already revealing the Ood beneath.
I love those types of makeups, though, because it's a makeup on a makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I did point out something that I think is meant to, like, it's not necessarily foreshadowing, but it does sort of feel kind of cool to notice when you go back and watch it.
They brought up the bees again.
Well, not the bees are one of them, but what I'm talking about was when Mr. Halpern's looking in the mirror and over his shoulder is Ood Sigma. And because of their heads positioning, you could see that their heads have kind of a similar shape.
Oh, yeah. I think you even said that while we were watching.
Yeah, I'd said it because I thought it was just a fun, like, it's not a spoiler. It doesn't tell you the thing. But it's a neat little bit of foreshadowing to see their heads side by side as if it's like a before and after.
The only thing that really would have sealed it is if he had pulled out a picture of himself, like, on first day on the job. And his head was a different shape.
His head's, like, totally flat.
Yeah. Flat top.
It looks like anger from inside out.
We did see the Doctor momentarily transform into Barty Crouch. He locked himself up in a cage.
Yes. Hello, Father.
What are you going to do then? Arrest me! Lock me up, throw me in a cage! Well, you're too late. Ha!
You did bring up that Donna mentions the bees are disappearing once again.
Yes, she does. The Doctor then comments on something up with those bees.
Which, you would mention that the bees, this is the first year in a while where the bee population has gone up instead of down. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned that last episode. It is kind of funny that until they had brought it back up again, I don't think that I would have been like, oh, yeah, when they say the bees are disappearing, they mean the...
No, I fucking love honeybees. I'm so excited for whenever the bee episode comes up. I adore honeybees. They're so good. We're completely glossing over a big hanging thing that I did have a reaction about.
Oh, go for it.
I think your song must end soon, Doctor. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I mean, it is his last season.
Yeah, I fucking guess so, but geez Louise, dude. Is that all it's referring to?
I think so.
It's difficult to say too, because I do have the outside objective of I am watching this as a, we're watching something from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's like, oh yeah, we're just watching seasons of a show, but not remembering time and place. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And so it's like, oh yeah, of course there was another Doctor. Of course there's going to be, other people after this that reprise the role of the Doctor. But if you're watching this as it's airing in 2008 and you've already had, Tennant for two previous seasons or two previous series.
Mm-hmm. It might have even been announced already that this might have been his last series. I got into Doctor Who right when his series was ending.
Mm.
So it's hard for me to say, because I wasn't like present for it.
Okay, but I didn't know how prominent that information is.
Yeah, so that's the thing is, I know that now the process in place is when the Doctor leaves, like when the Doctor announces they're leaving, they've already picked the next Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was in place for Tennant, but I believe it was in place for Smith, Capaldi, and Whitaker. I believe that was in place for each of them.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure if that happened when Tennant was running. Because I think I've mentioned it before that Tennant has sort of a weird like half season after this series, where instead of having a full season, he has a series of specials that came out in 2009 and 2010.
Specials a la Classic Doctor?
Specials a la like the Christmas specials we've seen.
Okay.
They're just like longer episodes of the show. So we'll get to those eventually, obviously. But yeah, I think that might have just been a reference to the fact that people know that it's David Tennant's last season of the show.
I feel like it would strike you as like foreshadowy and doomsday-y on the show's air date in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're watching it now, it's kind of, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's pertinent to the timeline that it is in, but not our current timeline.
I can't find anything specifically saying that Tennant had already announced his departure at that point. I mean, even then, if you're an adult, you might know that. But if you're one of the kids watching, you have no idea that's the case.
I forget that children watch this show.
Yeah, this is a family show that the whole family is supposed to sit down together and be a family.
So there is no way ever that their dicks would have been in those balls.
No. To give you an idea, they got mad at Nshutigatwa for being in his like outfit as the Doctor and saying the word fuck. Like the Doctor is not allowed to swear. And Judy can do that in his own clothes, but if he's wearing the Doctor's outfit, he's not allowed
to. It wasn't even like filmed. It's like Disney rules then.
Yeah, a little bit. He was out doing something. I don't remember if it was for charity or what it was, but he was out doing something dressed as the Doctor and he said fuck. And like kids could hear him. And so he was like, you're not allowed to do that. You can do it on your own time in your own clothes. But when you're the Doctor, you are the Doctor and the Doctor does not swear.
Wowie zowie. Okay. I completely forgot that.
Yeah. So
this is a family show.
Yeah, it's a family show, so it's I do think it's still funny that you thought it was their dicks. That was, I had wondered how quickly you were going to get there.
I mean,
I didn't realize you were going to say
the brain is in his dick and his heart, so
and his stomach. So really it's all parts of him are right there.
Yeah, all of the vital organs are in a man's dick. I just feel bad for Donna not ever getting a little beach episode. I just want nice things for her.
Yeah, she's
so excited to see you go back in time and has to decide whether she wants to kill the entire world or 20,000 people. And now she's on an alien planet that's terribly cold and has to fight other humans over keeping slaves.
Mm. I mean, at least I wonder if it would have been weird.
It would have been odd if it was any of the companions.
I was gonna say, it would have been maybe weirder if it was Martha, though. Because Martha was once stressed about that. If you remember in the Shakespeare Code, she was like, hey, am I going to be safe walking around with this face? They're not going to ship me off.
No, it's fine. They combated that this episode by having the black officer holding the whip.
That makes it better.
Yeah. And then also just a little side note. This was like the first time that we had somebody not white and not black being in a role of any kind of like notoriety. Because we had Solana. She's Indian. I'm still waiting for, like, a hardcore Asian.
Yeah.
But, you know.
An East Asian.
I'm waiting for, like, a Japanese brother.
A Japanese brother.
Yeah. I'm Japanese, dude. I'm waiting for...
You're waiting for your Japanese brother.
Yeah, my Japanese... But I might have one. My dad was adopted. You don't know.
Well, speaking of other companions, next week is the return of Martha Jones.
Hooray! Interesting!
And we will find out about what that's all about.
Yeah, together, what the fuck?
Together on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Ooh.
Ewed. We must end. We must end. We must end the podcast because it is over. But before you go, be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already and give us a like or 5 stars to help us out with the algorithm. And I know you haven't done it yet. I know how many people listen to this podcast and those stars do not match up. So put the 5 stars in already, Jeff. And also everyone not named Jeff. You can also follow us on social media if you haven't already, Mary. You can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPOD. That's WIMDPOD. Next week, Cassie finally gets to meet the Suntarans, so be sure to be here next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Who's Days. Michael? See you then!